All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 57, and of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99. All right, y'all, back with another episode. Like I said, I wanted to come back and do a full episode just dedicated to the return of Invicta FC on Access TV. First off, if you're not familiar, because I still have a lot of people on my channel, some subscribers that aren't familiar with Invicta FC, they're still asking me, what is Invicta FC and some of these fighters that I'm talking about. You know, it's almost like you think I'm making it up, but for real, Invicta FC is a platform, it's a fighting organization that's strictly dedicated to women. You know, it's for the women mixed martial artists, gives them a platform to grow, you know, fighters that are coming in making their debut, or fighters that may have gotten cut from the higher, you know, from the higher organizations like Bellator, UFC. They have a platform to still fight and, you know, still showcase their talent, you know. And it's also for the up-and-comers, you know, the up-and-comers that eventually want to get signed by Bellator or the UFC. So, you know, if you go back and just look at some of the earlier shows, you'll see fighters like Amanda Nunes, Chris Cyborg, Megan Anderson, Felicia Spencer, Angela Hill, Tisha Torres, Rose Namajunas. If you've seen them in UFC, in the UFC, then they probably did a stint in Invicta FC. So yeah, man, just go back and watch some of those old fights. It's been around for forever now. It's been around since 2012, if I remember correctly. About 9 years, I've been watching it that long. You know, I've been watching it since Invicta FC 1. You know, they've done over like 45, 46 shows. And yeah, man, they've always put on some good explosive performances, you know, good cards, good matchups. Yeah, so this past Friday, I had to go back and watch all the fights, you know, like on Saturday night after I got home, you know, birthday weekend. So I was pretty much just chilling out, you know, just hanging, you know, tried to get away for a little bit, didn't do any videos, but had to go back, you know, late Saturday night into Sunday morning and just watch all these fights from, you know, Bellator to Invicta FC. But this past weekend, Invicta FC, they returned on Access TV and on their Facebook channel and their YouTube channel. They put on 6 fights, you know, some fighters making their debut. And we also had 2 title fights. You know, Karina Rodriguez, she was able to defeat Diana Torcato in a hard-fought close decision for the vacant flyweight title. Then you had Alisa Zapatella defending her title in a close fight, close controversial win over Jessica Del Boni, which we'll talk about when we get to it. But yeah, what I want to do with this episode is just talk about each fight, just kind of go round by round with each fighter. So if you want to hear me talk about them, you know, just sit back and relax, and you know, we'll talk about all 6 of these fights, and I'll kind of break them down for you. Instead of just doing like separate post-fight analysis video, I said, you know what, I'm gonna come through, give the ladies some shine, and yeah, we can kind of go from there and just talk about these fights. But definitely got to talk about Zapatella versus Del Boni, and I'll give you my thoughts on what happened in that fight. But yeah, man, first up, first fight on the card opener was Elise Pones, who was making her pro debut, against Chrissy Vandoli, who was also making her pro debut. Pones, she scored a second round TKO with Vandoli right away in the first round. Both fight, first off, Pones, she was using that traditional Muay Thai stance, but both fighters, they were kind of fighting at a range, just picking their shots and kicks. Vandoli, she was looking to open up a bit more, using her range and land some body kicks. I think Vandoli was landing more in the back foot, you know, like her front kicks and body kicks. But with like less than 2 minutes in the round, Pones, she really started to turn it up, letting her kicks go, letting off a good leg kick constantly, and mixing it up with the right hand. Both fighters were kind of going tit for tat towards that end, but I had to kind of give the edge to Pones because I felt like she landed a much more effective shot. In that second round, though, Vandoli tried to open up a little bit more with the right hand, keeping that range. But Pones, she came in leading with a good head kick and a knee in the clinch. And I could see that Pones started to open up a bit more and be a little bit more aggressive here. And she was getting the respect of Vandoli. So finally, Pones, she decides to let loose, and she lets barrage go on Vandoli. And Vandoli, she shields up on the fence. She's eating these right hands, right hand after right hand, and some elbows. And she's not stopping. And Vandoli was not answering. So the referee, he steps in and stops it. Second round TKO. I think this was just something Vandoli wasn't expecting in her first fight. You know, it is a pro debut, so she probably had those jitters where she didn't know that it was going to be this type of pace. But you got to be prepared for that. You know, you got to be prepared for that, you know. And I think that Pones could sense the respect from Vandoli. And she was like, hey, it's time for me to fire off. I'm going to fire off, and I'm going to hurt her. And I'm not stopping until the referee stops. So congrats to Elise Pones on her debut. And shout out to Vandoli, you know, going in there on a platform like Invicta FC. You know, it can be pressure for these fighters. But yeah, man, second fight. Fatima Klein making her debut against Ariana Melendez, who was 1-0. This was a good fight. This was a good, quick, explosive fight for Fatima Klein. She was able to score a first-round submission via rear naked choke over Ariana Melendez. And I like the style of Fatima Klein, this high-paced grappler. You know, she wants to get the fight to the ground, and you know, she wants to look for that submission win, and that's what she did. First round, right away, Klein, she comes out with some pressure. She lands a good inside leg kick. And Melendez, she tries to return the leg kick. Klein does some nice timing here because it's a low kick, but she catches it and she takes down Ariel Melendez. In this top position, she's locking up the neck of Melendez, and with the free hand, she's working with strikes to the head and to the body. And that's what I like about this type of grappler in Klein. You know, she's wanting to stay active and keep it effective. You know, she's making this takedown worth it. You know, she's not just laying on top of her. But Melendez, she did a good job of using her legs to create space. But Klein, she goes right back in, gets the back of Melendez, locks in that triangle around the body just to weaken up Melendez so she can't pop up. Then she digs that right arm up under the neck, flattens out Melendez. Melendez tries to roll. Klein's not letting her go. She flattens her out. Melendez taps from a rear naked choke. I love this type of high-paced grappling from Klein. She came in with kicks, ready to time. Time to take down, beautiful transition, active work, locks in the triangle choke after securing the body triangle. And yeah, won her debut by first round rear naked choke. Very impressive. So shout out to Fatima Klein. Third fight, Marianne Jose Favela versus Josie Storitz. Both of these fighters are coming in at 2-0. Favela, she's actually cornered by Cynthia Calvillo in this fight. You know, she was in her corner. And Josie Storitz, I've actually seen like her two fights, you know, since she's been in Invicta. Her nickname is Skull Crusher. But both fighters, you know, still coming in trying to prove themselves at 125. Right away in the first round, Storitz, she opens up with some feints and some kicks, trying to dictate the pace and keep pressure on Favela. Storitz, she closes in behind a combination and clinches up, putting Favela to the fence, looking for the takedown, but Favela winds up on top and gets back up. Storitz closing in again for the clinch and using some pressure and good head control on the fence. Favela's not making it easy. You know, she's using her strength. Favela, you know, she wants to be able to shift to a better position and get the side of Storitz and try to take Storitz down, but Storitz winds up on top position, keeps control of Favela, but Storitz loses control and Favela gets back to her feet. Storitz round, but not a great deal of action here. It's just really a high-paced grappling round, but not a lot of action going on in there. The second round, Favela coming out with more pressure and some leg kicks. Storitz, she lands a nice leg kick of her own on Favela. Favela came back with a good right hand that hurt Storitz. She rocked her. She put her on the back foot because I saw that shot land, and as soon as she went on the back foot, that's where Favela should have went after. But Storitz, she shoots in for a takedown. She gets it, and she uses that wrestling as time to smother Favela's attack and just kind of recover. You know, I could tell, like, after she ate that big right hand, she said, look, I'm going in to wrestle, and I'm going to use this time to recover. Favela, she was dealing with that pressure, but she made a nice adjustment and transition to a tie clinch, and she was landing a few good knees of her own, but she let Storitz go back to wrestling. Like, she let her break out of that tie clinch and go right back to wrestling. But to me, back in the center of the octagon, that's where it favored Favela. You know, she was able to land these good combinations, but she wasn't using the octagon well. She wasn't using that octagon generalship. Like, every time she landed a combination, she would let Storitz come in and take her down. You know, she should have been using these angles, laying good shots, because overall the striking was better from Favela. So if Favela would have landed punches and just continued to kind of circle and use that octagon, use that real estate, she probably could have won this round. But I feel like Storitz, every time she would take her down, she would do better work and just kind of wear Favela down in the guard. And I think Storitz just won another round easy with the takedown. So, you know, again, Favela landed the better punches in this fight, better punches in this round. She was able to hurt Storitz, but Storitz came back with some good takedowns and pretty much took this round as well. The third round, Storitz, she opens up, lands a nice overhand right that kind of stumbled Favela, and Storitz lands another right hand. And I'm just like, okay, she's starting to pick her shots. It's almost like she's kind of picking up what Favela's doing here now. So Favela, she's staying on the back foot, not letting her hands go enough. So Storitz, she's starting to close in here and land her right hand. I haven't seen the jab from Favela, and that's one thing I want to say. Like, with Cynthia Calvillo in the corner, I'm thinking I'm going to see more big punches and set up by the jab here, but she's not letting the jab go, and she's not really fighting off the back foot. It's almost like she's just kind of letting Storitz kind of pick her off now. She's kind of letting her fight her own beat her at home game now. You know, Storitz, she tries to come in and lock her up and take her down. Favela, she tried to escape the takedown, but once again, Storitz, she takes the top, back in the half guard, she controls it. You know, and then she transitions to a top position and just smothers Favela and locks it in. So I had Josie Storitz winning this round as well. I had her win in the fight. In my opinion, it was 30-27. Just some solid grappling and good technical work by Storitz. Good punches landed by Favela, but, you know, she just needed to use more angles. You know, like I said, I had it 30-27. I thought Storitz just was controlling with the groundwork. I think Favela's striking was too far in between rounds. You know, when she would land, she would let herself get taken down, or she wouldn't use any angles in there. So yeah, I had Josie Storitz winning that fight. Next fight, Claire Guthrie was coming in at 2-1, scored a unanimous decision over Juliana Miller, who is 2-0. Juliana Miller, I've seen her fight a couple times. You know, she's a very high energy fighter, likes to come in and try to take the fight to the ground. Very high clinch fighter. Claire Guthrie, she's working to be an all-around fighter. You know, she's a good striker on the back foot. You know, she picks her shots more. She's pretty strong in the clinch. Good wrestler. And Claire Guthrie, she really had to showcase some good skills at just nullifying whatever Juliana Miller was coming. All right, so first round, Miller, she comes out swinging with some big kicks and missing. And Guthrie, she quickly clinches up and slows that pace down. And this is what I like. You know, she's coming in kind of wild. Some fighters, they'll get intimidated by that. But Claire Guthrie, she said, oh, I'm going to catch her. I'm going to clinch up with her and just kind of slow this pace down so I can kind of figure out what I need to do. And Miller, she presses Guthrie to the cage. She eats a big knee while she's pressing in. Guthrie, she gets that space back. But Miller, she comes back in behind the right hand, tries to clinch up again. Both exchange some hard knees in that clinch. But I like what Guthrie is doing. You know, she's actually kind of catching her breath in these clinches. And she's just kind of letting Miller wear herself down. And Guthrie, she does a good job at breaking free and going back to fighting at a range. And she lands some big strikes on Miller. You know, she's hurting Miller with these big shots. And I think Miller, she's taking too much time and energy trying to press Guthrie to the fence. Instead of using those kicks, you know, those leg kicks, like using her timing and picking them off, you know, picking her shots at a distance, you know, she's kind of throwing wild shots. And then she's just kind of pressing and throwing her body at Guthrie. You know, she's not getting enough work in, whereas Guthrie, she's fighting well in these clinches and she's picking her shots. You know, Guthrie, she's landing on the inside. She's landing shots on the outside as well. Miller, by the last minute in this round, looked kind of winded to me. And Guthrie, she landed a beautiful jab that just stunned Miller. Like, she shot a good shotgun jab straight up the middle, and it did hurt Juliana Miller. So I had to give that round to Guthrie all the way. All right, second round. Juliana Miller, she storms out with a nice right hand, left hand, and again, presses Guthrie to the cage. But I think Guthrie, she's doing a better job in the clinch. You know, she's hand fighting. You know, she's fighting and controlling the wrist of Miller. And she's working with the free hand, landing some good knees to the body. She's just kind of mixing it up on the inside. You know, she's mixing up a nice attack. You know, she's going to the body. She's landing knees. Every time Miller tries to lock up, you know, she's just trying to, you know, kind of press Guthrie to the fence. That's really her only attack. And Guthrie, she's just staying calm, picking her shots, and just letting... She's just letting the aggressive fighter kind of wear herself out. And then Miller, she locks up Guthrie, tries to take the fight to the mat. He gets the back of Guthrie, but not too much space is given here. So Guthrie, she's able to get back up. And of course, Miller goes right back to pressing Guthrie. And Guthrie, she's just using it to her advantage. You know, Miller's using a lot of energy to wrestle Guthrie down. But Guthrie is just using this time to breathe and still work. Like, you can see the facial expressions here, like who's really working hard and who's actually just kind of like, okay, this is just another day. I'm gonna just take my time, and eventually this fight is gonna get winded. So Guthrie won this round again. I think, you know, she just landed the better shots and again, just controlled the clinches. Third round, Miller, she comes out letting those high kicks go again. You know, landed a few, but Guthrie landed the more accurate punches. You know, she was landing some nice shots that were hurting Miller. Miller's pushing that jab a bit more, but still not landing as effective, and she wants to clinch without working. You know, she wants to continue to clinch without working. And then Miller finally gets a takedown early, and in side control, she tried to go for that arm bar, but Guthrie, she nicely got back up to her. She got back up to her feet nicely. And I would have liked to seen Guthrie sit down on her shots a little bit more in these rounds. I'd probably say like in the second or third round, definitely in the third round, I wanted to see more power behind those shots, because I think at this point, the way Miller was coming in, she probably could have stopped it because she was just so aggressive. And at this point, she was winning. I think she could have stopped it if she sat down her shots a little bit more. But again, you know, Guthrie is just doing a good job of landing elbows. Miller, I had to give her a lot of credit because she was just all over Guthrie and just setting this weird pace. But definitely have to give Guthrie credit because she was able to handle such a high energy, awkward fighter, you know, just every which way she was coming. You know, she was just able to handle that high energy type of fighter. I had it 2-1 for Guthrie. I felt like she won round one and two. And then I had to give the last round to Juliana Miller because I just felt like, you know, she was still controlling the ground and controlling the pace and just kind of using that awkwardness to her advantage to keep Guthrie kind of pinned down in that last round. But yeah, overall, it was a pretty decent fight. Like I said, these are still some flyweights growing. You know, they're only coming in, 2-0. So, you know, you're going to see a lot of improvements need to be made by these fighters along, you know, as they go on throughout their career. All right. So the co-main event, Alicia Zapatella versus Jessica Del Boni. As y'all know, Alicia Zapatella came away with her title. You know, she was able to defend her title by split decision over Jessica Del Boni. But I know we talked about it in the live stream a couple of days ago. You know, y'all were telling me who y'all felt won the fight. And I can't disagree. I feel like Jessica Del Boni did enough to win the Atomweight Championship from Alicia Zapatella. I feel like she did enough to take it. I watched the fight the first time. I had it 4-1 for Jessica Del Boni. Second time around, I had it 3-2 for Jessica Del Boni. I just felt like the champion didn't do enough to keep her title. Even if they do say that, hey, to be the champion, you got to beat the champion. I felt Del Boni had her moments where she was kind of, you know, not committing enough. You know, she was kind of, you know, just kind of staying back too much. But there was still enough effective moments where she was taking these rounds. I felt like she was just doing the overall better work with her inside leg kick. She established a nice leg kick. I feel like she was just controlling with effective pressure and landing the better shots. You know, I just wish she would have turned it up a little bit more with her being the longer, taller fighter here. You know, Alicia Zapatella did land some nice punches here, but Alicia didn't even really score a takedown in this fight. You know, she's known as a wrestler, explosive wrestler. She's very strong on the inside. She couldn't even get a takedown. That was another thing. I felt like Del Boni did a good job of defending these takedowns. You know, she was able to stuff every time she tried to step in, and she controlled the pace of the fight. You know, she was ripping the lead leg throughout the fight, and I felt like Alicia Zapatella was feeling the effects of that leg kick. You know, you can see her leg start to drag, which I'll talk about here in a minute. But yeah, I just felt like Del Boni did enough to win the fight, and this is a fight where I can't say it was kind of a robbery. It was kind of a robbery. I thought that Del Boni, you know, controlled it, and of course, you know, there is the other part of me that says, look, you got to impress these judges. You got to close the show. I do feel like there were moments where she could have did more, you know, but enough is never enough. That's one thing. Like, I think she did enough, but in the fight game, enough is never enough, which I'll talk about here in a minute. But real quick, looking back at the first round, Zapatella, she came out fainting early, you know, trying to keep her range. Del Boni wasn't really throwing much. She was kind of waiting behind the champion. And Del Boni, she wanted to counter as Alicia Zapatella came in. But Zapatella was landing a nice right hand early on. She was using the right hand and starting to use her lateral movement. 2 minutes in, Del Boni, she started to let off her combination. She was stalking more, cutting the octagon off more. But her being a longer fighter, I wouldn't see her let that jab go. You know, Del Boni, she did land a nice 1-2, keeping Zapatella back. Zapatella, she shoots in for a takedown off one of Del Boni's kicks. She looks to get the head, but Del Boni, she's able to break, go back to stalking. She lands a nice right hand and a good inside leg kick. So that inside leg kick was going to be a big factor in this fight. Zapatella, she lands a good right hand as Del Boni comes in. Del Boni, she stuffs most of these takedowns this round, does well of staying up until Zapatella wrestles her down, tries to press her in with that head, get a headlock. But in my opinion, I think Del Boni won the round with the better strikes and the takedown defense. Second round, Del Boni, she needs to start landing more strikes. You know, in my opinion, she's dictating the pace and she's stalking nicely, but not enough jabs. You know, she's getting respect to Zapatella, but Zapatella will dart in and land some knees here and there and some right hands. But Del Boni, she is effective. When she lets her 1-2 go, she is effective. She is getting the respect of Zapatella as well. You know, she is backing her up, and she is at this point starting to make Zapatella miss her right hand. You know, she'll step in, land her shots, and make Zapatella miss that right hand because it's starting to become a little bit telegraphed. These openings, Del Boni is not capitalizing on fully, though. You know, she's about 80% capitalizing on these takedowns, these openings from her. You know, whenever she stuffs a takedown, I think that she needs to land more shots, like some knees up the middle. You know, I think she needs to really start to control the pace of this fight. You know, Del Boni, she's doing better this round. You know, she's getting off more 1-2s, making Zapatella miss overall. Del Boni lands a nice counter right hand and left as, you know, as Zapatella went in for attack. Zapatella, she lands another overhand right. Closed the round with some nice knees, but I think Del Boni controlled it with her round, controlled the round with her 1-2s and her counter right hands overall. Third round, Zapatella, she's looking to step in more and land, but she's missing. And she's being countered by Del Boni. You know, she's eating that stiff jab, which is I wanted to see. I wanted to see that jab. Del Boni, she stuffed another takedown. But Zapatella comes in, landed a nice stiff jab of her own as she meets Del Boni mid-range. Del Boni lands her right hand. And she uses that lateral movement to make Del Boni reset. So I do give Zapatella that. Del Boni's jab lands. She stuffs another takedown. And that's becoming her signature move. Just stuff that takedown and go right back to landing her 1-2s. Zapatella, she's working while Del Boni waits. Last minute, Del Boni, Zapatella, she shoots in for a takedown, but clinches up and lands some big knees in the left hand. Del Boni, she tries to come back with a late attack. I think this was the only round where I could give to Zapatella, really. Like, this round here, first time I watched it, I said this was the one round where I think Zapatella, she started letting her hands go more, and she was effective at that mid-range because Del Boni was waiting a little bit, you know, too many spurts of the round. Like, she would have her spurts and then she would kind of stop. You know, she would kind of stop in the round. The fourth round, Jill Boney, she still hasn't found that range where she needed to land comfortably. You know, she does land that nice 1-2, and she's still ripping that leg kick. She lands a good leg kick that buckles Zapatella. She needs more of these to really break her down and just stop that lateral movement, because Zapatella is moving side to side. You know, she's doing a lot of lateral movement. And once you start ripping that lead leg, that's how you get that fighter to go stationary. You know, she needs more of these. Del Boni, she's stalking forward, landing that nice left hook. She's landing a nice left hook, and she stops with a barrage. She stops, lets Zapatella let off a barrage, and she's able to land that inside kick again. She lands that inside kick. Del Boni, she's doing a great job of just stuffing these takedowns, controlling the octagon. Zapatella's really having to move here because she's respecting the power of Del Boni. And like I said, if the fighter's on the back foot like this and they don't want to engage with you, you need to go after them and start landing that right hand. One of the things about Zapatella, she's open for the right hand. You know, Del Boni, to me, she's winning another round here, and she's eating up that lead leg of Zapatella. So fourth round, I gave the Jessica Del Boni again. Fifth round, Zapatella, she opens up the round, punching her way into a clinch, presses Del Boni to the fence, and lands a nice right hand on the break. Zapatella's actually timing Del Boni a little bit more here, landing an overhand right and a left hook. She's sidestepping, sticking her jab out. Zapatella doing better here. You know, she's being first, fighting in between those movements while Del Boni waits. Zapatella's effective in this round, but Del Boni, you know, it's because she's not jabbing enough. You know, she wasn't closing in enough and landing that big right hand. But she did close in once, and she landed that nice right hand. She hurt Zapatella, but she was able to escape and get back on the bike. So when she closed in, landed that right hand once, she did hurt her, but she let her go. And the inside leg kick, when she turned that inside leg kick on again, she started really doing damage here, because I could see Zapatella was dragging the lead leg. You could see how red it was. It was beat red, man. Like, she was eating these leg kicks and it was dragging. So to me, Del Boni, she should have went in for a takedown of her own and, you know, just kind of capped the round off. Or she should have started going to the body. She should have started going to the body more. They both closed the round strong. Del Boni's letting off a hard combination, knocking Zapatella back. A lot of air strikes from both fighters towards the end, though. You know, they were landing some good shots here and there. Zapatella, I think she could have edged the round out, but it was another one I had to give to Del Boni. I think Del Boni landed the nicer inside leg kicks, did the more damage, you know, just backing her up. Overall, I think Del Boni won the fight. I just think that did enough to win the fight, you know, ripping that lead leg and just doing a lot of effective work in there. I think she just did enough, man. Like, again, though, you know, enough can never be enough in these judges' eyes, though. Let me know what y'all think, though. Hopefully they can get a rematch going. You know, hopefully they can get that rematch if Alicia Zapatella wants it. I heard Alicia Zapatella said she wants to step up to 115, but I don't know. Not with her skill set and her size, I don't think she'll be able to handle 115. You know, I'm just being honest. If she couldn't handle this type of fighter that was fighting at a slower pace that I feel like still beat her, you know, I don't know if she'll fare well at 115, you know, even in Invicta. Definitely wouldn't in UFC, but definitely not in Invicta. I'm definitely not in UFC. All right, so the main event, Karina Rodriguez versus Diana Torcato for the vacant flyweight title. This was a good fight. It was a good banger. You know, Karina Rodriguez, she's a solid stand-up fighter. I expected to see a little bit more as far as, you know, different levels shown, maybe some ground fighting, just because, you know, Diana Torcato, you know, she could take it to the ground as well. But this was just a banger, man. They was just pretty much fighting on the inside, the outside. You know, I think early on, the early rounds favored Diana Torcato a little bit more because she was just using a nice calf kick and inside kick and just landing the better right hands. But I think whenever Karina Rodriguez, she started to show that boxing level in the mid part of the fight, she made that nice adjustment. She started picking her shots a little bit more and taking less punishment. The fight just started to go more so in her favor. So I just like that. I like that rhythm rhythm change. You know, first off, it started off with some banging shots, you know, from both fighters. Then Karina Rodriguez said, no, not banging. I'm about to box a little bit more, stay on the outside and pick my shots. So yeah, I felt like Karina Rodriguez just put on a nice showcasing of striking and boxing throughout the later part of this fight. Real quick, the first round right away, high paced stand-up battle, man. Both fighters letting their hands go and both fighters connecting. You know, Karina Rodriguez picking her shots, picking her leg kicks and right hands. Karina Rodriguez sticking and moving as Diana Torcato comes in. Torcato, she lands a nice barrage on the cage, landing some good right hands, some knees on Rodriguez. I think the outside fighting was favoring Karina Rodriguez a little bit more, so I wanted to see her, you know, just stay on the outside and kind of pick her shots more. Where Diana, when she would go on the inside, she would just let loose, and I think she was controlling that pace. Both fighters, they landed some nice leg kicks, but I think Torcato, she was putting together some nice 1-2s and kicks in this round, and just landing the more effective shots on the inside. And Rodriguez, you know, she was just showcasing that chin. You know, she took some big shots. Rodriguez, I think her straighter punch is more effective in the first round whenever she would throw him down the pipe. First round, I had to give the Torcado, though. I thought she was just fighting at a higher pace. And she landed some nice, just some nice shots overall. But Rodriguez, she did fire back in the clinch with a hard knee to the face. That was a good shot that I noticed that did some damage on Torcado. But Torcado would come back with that right hand in the pocket. Very effective shot. All right, second round, these ladies are banging. You know, Torcado, she's stalking forward. She's landing her left hook. Rodriguez, she's boxing a little bit more this round, you know, trying to strike better at a distance, you know, extending her shots. Rodriguez, she lands a nice body kick, but Torcado, she answers back with her own right hand. Rodriguez, got to give her credit, man, because she's taking these big right hands. She's just showcasing that chin, and she's coming back with her leg kick to really break Torcado down, which is why I like. You know, she's landing that leg kick just to kind of make her more so stationary so Rodriguez can come back with the more effective shots and still get out. You know, she can have that speed. And towards the end of the round, too, Rodriguez definitely had to give her this round because she nearly knocked Torcado out toward the end of the round. You know, she landed a big shot, made her buckle and almost nearly fall, but the bell had saved her. So this round, I had to give the Rodriguez. Third round, Rodriguez, she's using more feints this round. She's, you know, trying to get off more strikes, landing some nice leg kicks and right hands, making Torcado miss. I like this adjustment that she made. Torcado, you know, she was still game, landing some her own leg kicks. Rodriguez, though, she's getting off these combinations. Torcado starting to do more damage here this round with her 1-2s, good inside leg kicks and timing from Rodriguez. A lot of back and forth action here. There was a lot more tit for tat moments here, but I think that Torcado, you know, like I said, she was made for that inside. She liked that inside pocket fighting, so I gave Torcado the edge in this round. Fourth round, Rodriguez boxed more. This is what I like to see. You know, she was landing more of her right hand. She was setting them up, getting full extension on her 1-2s, and she was cracking Torcado here. Torcado was a little bit slower here now. She was a little bit slower because of those leg kicks, but she's still dangerous in the pocket. Every time Rodriguez would let Torcado in, she would let her shots off. That's where she was effective. So Rodriguez, she was using more movement here to catch her breath and just box smarter on the outside, landing her right hand, just sticking and moving this round. Just sticking and moving and just opening up on Torcado. She was able to open up a cut on Torcado as well. So I had to give this round to Rodriguez, you know, just off of the box and a nice movement. The fifth round, Torcado not letting go as much here. So she needed a finish at this point, I think, you know, just to cap it off according to the scorecards. You know, one judge had to fight a complete sweep for Karina Rodriguez. He had like four rounds to zip for Karina Rodriguez. And I was like, no, this is a close fight. I actually had it tied up at this point. I felt like there was some back and forth action here, and Torcado was doing enough to win some rounds, but I still feel like Torcado needed to do something big to get this fight. You know, it was going to be a close fight, or it could have been a draw. You know, so Torcado at this point, I feel like she needed to do something big. You know, she needed to press the action a little bit more, but Rodriguez, you know, she was settling into her boxing, just being too slick, and, you know, just going right back to the right hand and the jab popping Torcado. So overall, smart fighting Rodriguez. You know, she fought in the clinch as well, controlled the pace again, and just boxed and didn't trade. So yeah, good IQ shown by Karina Rodriguez. You know, early on she fought, you know, in the pocket a little bit. She liked to bang some, but when she said that's not going to win the fight, she switched up the IQ and said, look, let me pick my shots, let me stay on the outside a little bit more, and, you know, also use a leg kick to slow down Diana Torcado. So overall, it was a good performance, and Karina Rodriguez won the fight. I feel like it was 3-2. So yeah, shout out to Karina Rodriguez, new Invicta FC flyweight champion. Good main event, man. So yeah, overall, I enjoyed the card, y'all. Solid fights. And shout out to the, you know, the up-and-comers, the prospects making their debuts, and definitely shout out to the champion. But like I said, my final thoughts on the co-main event, I still feel like Jessica Del Boni, she did do enough to win the fight, and hopefully she can get a rematch. It's crazy though, like, all the UFC fighters that were there, their fighters lost that night, man. Like, Favela was cornered by Cynthia Calvillo, Diana Torcado, she was cornered by Marina Rodriguez, and Jessica Del Boni was cornered by Jessica Andrade. You know, I was like, maybe this is going to help them. You know, maybe this is going to give them that pep, but they all had lost. So, you know, I'm not saying it was their fault. You know, that's just how it goes, because Del Boni, she won her fight. You know, she won hers. But, let's do a real quick recap. So, yeah, Elise Pons making her pro debut. She scored a second-round TKO over Chrissy Van Dolley, who was making her debut. Then you had, Fatima Klein making her debut. She won her first round. She won her fight first round rear naked choke over Ariana Melendez. Then you third fight, you had Josie Storz winning her fight by unanimous decision over Marianne Favela. And fourth fight, we had Claire Guthrie getting a unanimous decision over Juliana Miller. And of course, the co-main event, you had Alicia Zapatella getting a split decision over Jessica Del Boni. And of course, the main event, Karina Rodriguez wins the vacant flyweight strap unanimous decision over Diana Torcato. So yeah, guys, solid card once again. Invicta FC, we'll talk more about it, you know, because they have a card coming up June 11th. And this is big. This is the Invicta FC Phoenix Rising tournament for the atomweight division. So yeah, we'll be talking about this in more episodes, y'all. So yeah, man, final thoughts again. Guys, y'all check out Invicta FC. You know, my new fans coming over and subscribing to the channel. Yeah, Invicta FC is definitely a solid platform for the women. You know, shout out to Shannon Knapp. They always made the best matches. You know, they always bring in some great talent. And yeah, man, definitely check out Invicta FC, guys. And like always, make sure y'all subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. And yeah, guys, Combo Breaker 99, I am out. Subscribe, peace.